It was the hardest thing I ever done, but when I crossed that finish line, I was hooked. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna do more of this. And I haven't ever stopped, never looked back.
The Digi Runs With Podcast, episode 260, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, just want to give a shout out to my new friends in Savannah, the members of the Savvy Striders Running Club, the Savannah, Georgia Running Club. I was there this past weekend celebrating my anniversary, and looked them up and found a group to try to run with on Saturday morning, and they took me in. They welcomed a stranger into their fold as per the norm, I think, when it comes to running clubs and the running community at large. So I just want to give a shout out to Theron and all the folks that took a chance to say hi to me and welcome me and make me feel as part of the group as anybody else that was there on the Saturday long run. It was a blast. I enjoyed your company, and just again, thank you. So any of you guys that ever visit Savannah on vacation, on work, on play, on leisure, if you're looking for a group to run with, I can't recommend connecting with the Savannah Striders, the Savvy Striders, enough. And you can find their website, savvystrider.com. That's Savy Strider.com. And look them up on Facebook and stuff as well. Connect with them and let them know you're coming, and they'll roll out the red carpet of welcome to you. And you can join them for a great run on either Saturday or Sunday mornings. And they've got a couple of runs during the week. So whenever you're there, check them out. And again, guys, thanks for welcoming me and making me feel a part of the group. I really appreciate it. So now let's get on with today's episode. Hey guys, I connected with today's guest on Twitter a while back, and we've had a few casual back and forth conversations over the past couple of months. One of the general questions that I love asking on Twitter is just simply, why did you start running? When today's guest offered her answer recently, I immediately knew I needed to have her on the show so that we could dive deeper into her answer and hear more of her story. And here we are. So without any further ado, it's time to welcome Ms. Melinda Howard to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Melinda.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Guys, if you want to check out Melinda's blog or connect with her on social media, things like that, her blog address is w0ep.us/tm. On Twitter, you can find her at Melinda Howard, the number 4. And on Instagram, her handle there is @melisrunning. And as always, I'll have all of those links and links to anything else that we happen to talk about that makes sense on the show notes for today's episode, which you'll be able to find for this episode at disruns.com/260. So, Melinda, the way we always get things started on the show is with a very simple question that sometimes has a very simple answer and sometimes has a very complex and convoluted type of answer, but at least gives us a place to start and go from. And that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
My favorite distance to race, hands down, is the 50K distance. The reason I like that is because a lot of people run marathons, and marathons are really fun. I like them. But there's something special about pushing it just a little bit further, pushing that envelope just a little bit farther than that. There's not a lot of women my age out running ultras. And so I like the idea of being an old fart out there on the trails and doing well.
Wow. I didn't realize that you're an ultra runner too. How did you decide to take up ultra running? Was that something that was... And obviously, we'll get into the backstory here in a minute, but I have to jump on this while we're here. Was that something that was a goal for a while, or did you stumble into it? Somebody suggest it and like, hey, what the heck? Let's do it. How did you do that?
I was actually registered for my first ultra before I ran my first marathon. I am not speedy. I am tenacious as they get, but speed is not my friend. So I know that for me as a runner, I want to work on my strengths, and that is being the little energizer bunny. Mm-hmm. I can go and go and go for a long, long time, just not really fast. So ultras were the logical choice for me.
Gotcha. Is there, you mentioned the trails when you're talking about the ultras. Does that kind of the environment make a difference, or make it something that you enjoy as well, being off-road?
I like road races as well as trails, mm-hmm. but to be honest with you, the trails are a lot more user-friendly on my mm-hmm. body than the road races. I can run a big, long ultra and not feel as beat up as I do after a road marathon. And so, you know, you kind of give and take a little bit there. Mm-hmm. The trails, I end up falling a lot because I'm a klutz. So, you know, it's give and take here and there, but I like them both. Mm-hmm. But I really like going a long, long ways. It's just something like, oh, yeah, I did that. So,
have you gone farther than 50K?
I was doing a 50 miler in March, and I'm registered for a 100 miler next February, the Rocky Raccoon 100. Mm. That's going to be my first attempt at a 100 miler. So fingers crossed on that.
Wow. Wow. I can't even comprehend that type of an idea. I have said many times on the show that at 26.2 miles, I'm happy to be done and have no desire to go 26.3. And I can't even imagine the idea of being like, all right, I just ran a marathon. Now I just got to do that three more times and I'll be finished.
Yeah, no problem.
Oof, yeah. And I understand there's a slightly different game plan going into running a 100 miler versus a marathon. But still, I can't wrap my head around that just yet. But more power to those of you who can. And I mean, that's an incredible goal and something to work towards. And wow. I mean, I don't have anything better to say than just, wow. I can't even. I can't even believe, I can't even imagine the idea of doing a 100 miler.
Well, I have 30 hours to get that one done, and I'm guessing I'm going to need every second of that 30 hours. Like I said, I'm not speedy, mm-hmm. but I will keep on going. So,
well, and there's something to be said about that as well, just that determination to not quit when things get tough, or when, you know, and that happens over the course of, that happens over the course of half marathons, let alone for longer, even longer stuff. So it's a good trait to have for sure. So, you know, the I kind of teased the question in the intro of asking, you know, that a big part of why we're here today is because of your answer to my question on Twitter of why did you start running? And your answer was to bring everybody else up to speed, is that you said that you wanted to speed up the weight loss journey that you were on. And then in parentheses, like almost like as a throwaway comment, you said, yeah, you know, I've lost 170 pounds total, to which point my jaw kind of hit the iPhone. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is ridiculous. This is crazy. So I don't even know where we want to start on this story, but I mean, I don't even know where to start. Like at what point in the weight loss journey did you start running, or where would you think is the best place to start on this story?
Oh, wow. I didn't always used to be big. Mm-hmm. When my husband and I and our two kids, we moved to Colorado in 1996, and I was skinny, really skinny. And I was a personal trainer, taught aerobics, and I did it all. And then I got sick, and most of it was related to altitude. We were living at about 8,000 feet, and I couldn't breathe, got tossed on every medication known to mankind, and eventually it made me explode to a very large person. I am short. I'm only 4'11". And by the time we moved to Mississippi in 2009, I was topping the scales at 275 pounds. So I kind of looked like a beach ball with arms and legs, you know. It was not a happy time. I was on oxygen 24/7, and it was just dreadful. So what eventually happened was I found a new doctor down here in Mississippi, and he said, this is ridiculous. We've got to get you off all this stuff. He started weaning me off the medication gradually, and in the process of doing that, neither one of us were really on top of monitoring levels of other medications, and I kind of went toxic, kind of like seriously went toxic on one, and kind of died, almost died, and didn't know anything that was going on at that time, forgot how to eat and stuff like that. So long story short, when I came out of that zone or whatever you want to call it, I had dropped 30 pounds. And I thought, hey, that's pretty cool bean stuff. So I decided to do something about trying to keep losing. And at that time, my mom had been diagnosed diabetic. So my husband and I put our heads together, and then we went over to the local bookstore and picked up some diabetic cookbooks. Because we thought that we would try to encourage my mom to eat healthy, and at the same time, diabetic diets are supposed to be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So I started cooking the stuff out of the diabetic cookbooks, and I started doing water aerobics at a gym. With the combination of becoming more active and eating healthy, I started losing weight. Mm-hmm. And eventually I had dropped, I'm going to say about 80 pounds when my sister called me and she said, hey, the university, Mississippi State University, is offering Couch to 5K this fall and I want to do it, but I don't want to do it by myself. Would you do it with me? And, you know, here I am, I'd lost 80 pounds and I've been working out, mm-hmm. and I thought this would be a cakewalk. So I said, sure. And I'm here to tell you that was the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. Wow. It was so hard. And looking back at it now, because I'd lost 80 and I've lost a total of 170, I still was a pretty chunky girl. Mm-hmm. And trying to run and do the Couch to 5K, it was a very, very challenging thing to do because my body, it was carrying around a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. I was in improper shoes for the beginning, so my knees were screaming at me, bloody murder. But my husband, bless his heart, took me out right away and got me fitted for shoes. And on Labor Day, 4.5 years ago, Labor Day, I started the Couch to 5K. My husband was there and he had a little timer, stopwatch mm-hmm. timer, and he timed every split for Couch to 5K. And he'd be like, walk here, now run, now walk. Wow. And he did that through the whole program. And when the program was done, he ran my first 5K with me. And he was so cool because it was hilly and I was dying. I thought, oh, I'm never going to make it through this 3 miles. And he was, we would get going and he would start singing the Rocky theme song to help me up hills. And then he'd switch to Hawaii 5-0 and be hula dancing around the course. Anything it would take to help me get through that 5K. And I finished it in 58 minutes.
Wow.
It was the hardest thing I ever done. But when I crossed that finish line, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, we're going to do more of this. And I haven't ever stopped.
Wow.
Never looked back.
You know, going back to your days before the move to Colorado and the weight gain, were you a runner then or was running?
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope, not at all.
Wow. Mm-mm. So your sister calls you and talks you into, you know, peer pressure wins again and you decide
yes.
to sign up for Couch to 5K. You know, again, you said it was the hardest thing you've ever done. Were there times that you thought of stopping, of not necessarily during the race, but in the process of like, this isn't for me. I don't, you know, it hurts. This is hard. I don't want to do it. Or was that that spirit of determination there from the get go, as far as I signed up for this, so by God, I'm going to do it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Remember in Lord of the Rings where, what's his name? Samwise Gamgee says, a promise is a promise. And yeah, that's kind of how I am. It's like, okay, I promised her I would do this, so I'm going to do it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to do this program. Mm-hmm. And I did.
Wow, wow.
It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. But looking back on that, I think it's the best way to get started as a runner, looking back on it now. If I would have just said, I think I'm going to go run 3 miles today, mm-hmm. I would not be running now. Gradual working you into it is a good thing. Very good thing. I remember seeing the 20-minute solid run on that program. I had it stuck on my refrigerator and I thought, there is no way I can run for 20 minutes without stopping. I know I can't do it, but I did.
Yeah, definitely. And you're right. I mean, that program that, it's so great for whether you're dealing with weight or just haven't ever run before. I mean, it's something that breaks up into chunks and allows it to be, a little bit more digestible than just, like you said, to just say, hey, you know, in 2 weeks we're going to run a 5K and you know, be ready. Like, it's just, that's not, that's setting you
it's
up for failure as opposed for success. Yeah. So after that first 5K and you're hooked, how long did it take for all of a sudden running to, maybe not all of a sudden, but you know, for it to go from, you know, 3 miles being the hardest thing you ever done, had ever done to, I don't want to say enjoying it, because it sounds like you may have been enjoying it already, but to really like looking forward to it and enjoying it, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Well, my husband had a running friend that actually lived about 2 miles south of us, or 2 hours south of us, and she's a race director for a 12K on New Year's Day. Now, my 5K had been right around the beginning of November. And she told my husband, she says, you bring your wife down here and you run my 12K on New Year's Day. So I was like, oh no, 12K. And I'm trying to figure out in my head, how far is that? It's so good old Google to the rescue. Mm-hmm. I pulled up a converter on there and I thought 7.5 miles, I can't do that. And then the next thing I was doing was Googling Hal Higdon's 10K program and going, okay, I can do this. And so I printed off his 10K program and trained for a 10K, figured, well, I can plug on the extra little bit at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kept going. By the end of that year, I was running half marathons, and a year later, my first full.
Wow.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
It's pretty incredible. You know, for I've had a couple of people on the show that have had, you know, similar type of things where just the weight was, I don't want to say out of control, but it was big, you know, and just started running and ease on. And I don't remember if all of them started with the couch to 5K, but it's similar type of thing, similar programs where you're starting slow and you're, you know, walk around the block once. And then you, once that becomes easy, you walk around the block twice and then you start to jog a little bit and whatever it takes to get to that point. And one of the things that I always love to ask, is what would your advice be for the, you know, kind of things that you've learned throughout that, those early stages of your running, running time that could help somebody else. If you know, if somebody listening is in a similar position, or if somebody that's listening and is a runner and knows somebody that's in that type of position where they're looking for a way to improve their health, or they want to start running, but they're not sure what to do. And maybe you could pass this on, you know, forward this chat onto them to, you know, what would you say to somebody like that to try to spur them or encourage them, or, just help with that type of, you know, I've been here and here's what my advice would be to you.
A couple of things I would say is, don't compare yourself to other runners. You are you. You know what you are capable of doing. Set a goal that is doable for you, but a little bit of a stretch, so that you're trying to improve, and put your money down and sign up for a race. As long as you have a race pending, if you're anything like me, you will turn yourself inside out so you don't have egg on your face in front of a whole bunch of people when it comes time to cross that finish line. As long as you have a tangible goal, you will keep working. Mm-hmm. At least I do.
Right.
And I don't know, there's something, the act of plunking down your money, they've got your cash, you know? So I'm not one to throw away money, and I will do what it takes to be successful in that. But if I'm comparing myself to other friends that I have that run and are borderline elite runners, then I will be so depressed, because that's just not me. And I know I can't do that, but I can do the best that I can do. So be satisfied and don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for anybody. Cause I think, I mean, that's something that I think a lot of us fall into, where it's like, oh, you know, whether it's the elites on TV, or whether it's the local man or woman that's just seems like he or she's head and shoulders above everybody else when it comes to the local 5Ks. They win them all, and it's like, man, I would love to, like, they're so fast. How come I can't keep up? And it's like, man, you got to do what you can do. And like you said, set a goal that's just a hair outside of your comfort zone and push towards that. And then
right.
a new goal and a new goal. And eventually you may never be as fast, but you're going to keep improving and keep pushing yourself and getting better yourself. And that's, I mean, ultimately that's, you know, that's the name of the game. We're all an experiment of one, and we got to do what works best for us.
Well, that's why they call it a PR. It's a personal right. record. It's not Joe Schmo's record. It's your record, and embrace it because you earned it.
Definitely.
You did.
Definitely. So, you know, as you got into running and you're, you know, going farther and farther and, you know, Lord willing, another year or so going 100 miles, which again is an incredible thing.
It hasn't happened yet.
Well,
we're working on it.
You're light years in front of me because you're actually like you said, plopping down money and like,
oh, yeah.
planning for it and consider, like, I don't even consider it. I just laugh. Like, oh yeah, 100 miles. Yeah, that's right. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, you jumped into the running community and things like that. And I know one of the things that you're most really passionate about is the iRun4 program. And it's something that I feel like I've heard little bits and pieces about it, but I've never, like, I don't think I've ever really actually talked to somebody that's involved with it. So I'd love to hear more about the program and how you got involved with it and what it kind of does.
The iRun for Michael program, I can't say enough good things about this program. I found out about it because a couple of my running friends were already matched with running buddies. And I saw their posts and the great things that they said about it, and I knew I had to be a part of it. What they do is you apply to be part of the program and you're put on a waiting list to be matched with somebody. They're not always cute little kids. Some are adults, and everybody has something in common is that for the most part, they physically cannot run, whether it be a developmental problem, a physical difficulty, whatever it is, they physically cannot run. Mm-hmm. And so you run for them. Every step I take, every race I run, it's all for my little I Run For buddy, Aiden. We were matched a year ago, April 9th. So we just celebrated mm-hmm. our 1 year anniversary. And this kid is the bomb. He is the best. And his folks are awesome, too. I am so seriously blessed to be matched with them. And I get extra medals for him from races and send them off to him and care packages here and there. And I post to him every day with pictures and tell him about my day and rest day. Mm-hmm. We mowing, doing housework. It's a joke with us now that, oh, yeah, there's no such thing as a rest day, which is true.
Mm-hmm. How did it's, you... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What?
Well, just what is the... You know, you're talking about getting matched up. Do you know the ins and outs of what the matchup process is or you know, how long does that take? Things like that?
I was on a waiting list to get matched with Aiden, I want to say 7 months.
Wow.
It takes a long, long time. Well, let's look at that, especially with the parents who are putting their children up to be matched. That's got to be a big step of faith. They've had so many problems and so many doctor's appointments and they're putting their child up to be matched with a total stranger that says they're going to run for their kid. It's got to be a huge step of faith because they don't know who they're going to get matched with. And as a runner, you don't know who you're going to get matched with, and you just pray that it's a good match. It's not always a good match, mm-hmm. and you try again. But Aiden has just been phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about that kid and his family. They are the best. And we're working on trying to figure out a way where we can meet in real life. Mm-hmm. He lives in Michigan, and I'm in Mississippi. So
we had a few states in the middle.
Yeah, just a few. It was funny because our marathon season down here is over the winter months. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I could go up there and run a marathon. And so I asked a question about, you know, what marathons are up there in the winter? And I got this laugh. It's like, we've got snow up here in the right. winter. I'm like, snow? What's that?
Yeah, I grew up in northern Michigan, and there's a couple of wintertime races, but they're more like snowshoey type of races.
Yeah, no, that's not for me. I'm a self-proclaimed cold weather sissy. No snow for me. So, I found out quickly that the marathon season is summer, late mm-hmm. fall kind of thing. So I need to rethink when I'll be heading up to Michigan, because it's not going to be in the wintertime. That's not happening.
Definitely aim for the spring, because that way you can do the bulk of your training when it's still comfortable-ish. In the southern states. I'm in Florida now, so I've kind of seen both sides of the spectrum. And
yes,
you don't want to be training for a marathon down here in July. It's for a fall race. Like, that's not ideal, to say the least.
My first ultra that I ran was in July in Clinton, Mississippi. Yeah. It was July 26th. I will never forget that day. It was a 50K. It was out on the trails, and it was a three-loop course. And when you came through the start-finish area, they had this big dial thermometer. And so when I came through on my second loop, that thing was reading 112 degrees. And I'm thinking, this is so wrong. And I kept on going, finished my race. But, it was hot, hot, hot. But,
I hear y'all. What was the humidity like?
Oh, it was typical Mississippi humidity, upper 90s.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it was miserable.
Oh, my goodness.
Got it done.
And that was, for me, that would be enough to be like, all right, I ran my ultra and I'm done with this foolishness.
No. You try some in a more reasonable time of the year, because you think, why did I do that? That just was not thinking. Let's try again. So, yeah.
Gotcha. So I want to go back to the Aiden thing. Once you got matched up, hopefully you're able to that was going to be one of my next questions until you said that you hadn't lined up with him yet, which is cool. But so you go back and forth I imagine it's like it helps you get out of bed in the morning maybe some days if you don't feel like running or things like that, knowing that. That you got this buddy that kind of, literally you're running for him.
I am.
Kind of helps keep you motivated on the days that maybe, which as much as you might want to run every day, like we all have days that we don't feel like doing it, and it kind of keeps you going.
It does. It changed the way I looked at my training and my miles, because they weren't mine anymore. Mm. They were for him, because that was what I signed up for, was to run for him. And the health benefits I may get out of it, which are huge, they're kind of secondary now, because I want to be the best runner for him I can be, get the most miles for him I can get, and send him the most medals that I can get, So I try really hard to be a good runner. I really do.
It's great. And we'll make sure to link up the iRun4. Is it just iRun4.org? It would be my guess, but I'm not sure.
If you Google iRun4 Michael, you'll get the page.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll be sure to have that link in the show notes, guys. If you want to check out more about the program and possibly even, throw your name in the hat and get matched up with somebody in the future to run for. I think it's something that I'm definitely going to look into. I'm intrigued by the idea. And it's like, what a great way to pay it forward and just add even more, I would imagine, and even more joy to something that we already find joy in as runners. Like we enjoy doing it. Now there's even a greater good that we're running for. It's gotta be just a nice little thing to keep in mind and look into for sure. So, you got the 100 miler coming up theoretically,
yes,
which we keep referencing back to, next year.
Yes.
I don't know if you look much farther than that, because that's a pretty big pill to swallow. But do you have other kind of running goals, future? Whether it's maybe bucket list races or just any kind of other big things, or is that kind of the focus at the moment?
Oh no! I have other other things up my sleeve. This year I was selected to be an ambassador for the Abbott World Marathon Majors. Mm. So I am whittling away at the list of running all six of those races. Right now I have Chicago done, which I ran that in 2014 with a concussion. I highly recommend the race. The race is phenomenal. I do not recommend running a marathon with a concussion. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But we live to tell the tale, and that's what counts. And then last year I ran the Berlin Marathon in Germany, and I'm returning to that race again this year because I have a beef to settle with that course. It was Oh my gosh, that was so much fun in Germany. It was my husband and I, we celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary while we were over there. And I don't know how much you know about Berlin, but the last part of the race, you cross through the Brandenburg Gate, and then you have the last 0.2 of the race to run, and then you finally cross that finish line, and you're thinking, finally. But I crossed through the Brandenburg Gate, and I had had a horrific race because I had ITBS startup at mile 8. And I thought, oh, man, because I never have knee problems. Right. And I thought, this stinks. But I got to talk to some really nice people and met, you know, it was fun. Mm-hmm. But when I crossed through that Brandenburg Gate, man, I was zeroed on that finish line, and I was ready to just hoof it. And a TV crew stopped in front of me, stepped right in front of me. And I'm like, dude, my Garmin's going. But, you know, the TV camera guy with the microphone, they stop in front of me, and he started interviewing me. And I'm like, okay, I mean, what do? You got to be polite, right? So he's asking me these questions. And finally he says, so are you celebrating anything special while you're in Germany?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So I said, yes, it's our 30th wedding anniversary. And then he says, well, as you successfully complete the Berlin Marathon, this song is for you. And they started blasting the wedding march out of the loudspeakers.
Wow.
Until I crossed the finish line. And the crowds, everybody's cheering and everything. And I'm like, oh, chills. I'll never forget it. It was the most amazing thing ever. So, yeah, that's my Berlin story.
Wow. And was just random that they happened to pick you out of everybody else that was running?
I think they knew who I was, yeah. But it was just so incredible. I'll never forget that. I mean, a world major marathon, and they play the wedding march for me. And they're probably thinking, lady, you said you were going to finish in this time, and you are very late.
Right.
But, you know, you do what you can.
That's awesome. When it comes to traveling like that for a race, what's the best strategy, you know, whether you're traveling, you know, to Michigan or, you know, even farther, like to Germany, like how do you deal with the travel when it comes to running a race as well?
Well, for Germany, that was the biggest travel race I'd ever had. My husband and I wanted to sightsee, and so we played tourist before the race, which was probably, well, I know it wasn't the brightest thing we'd ever done, but it's just how it worked out on our schedule. Mm-hmm. So we were there about a week before the race. That gave us time to get over jet lag, see a little bit of Berlin, and then rest up the day before the race. And that worked out really well. It did. We had a lovely, lovely time. I got to go to Oktoberfest and in the zoo and see all sorts of stuff. It was really fun. The first marathon I ran was in Maine, Bar Harbor, Maine. And there was, that was just 1 hour ahead of where we live.
Right.
So the traveling wasn't all that bad. We flew as far as Boston and then rented a car and drove the rest of the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fun. We had a great time up there. I love New England. I went to college in Pennsylvania, so I'd been up around that part of the country quite a bit, so it was fun to go see stuff again. Then the rest of the stuff has just been pretty local.
Gotcha.
I haven't done a lot of traveling. I'm planning on doing New York next fall, and then I'll probably... Well, I have to stick my name in the hat for London. That's going to be opening up pretty soon. Have to do that.
Right.
In Tokyo and Boston. So I'm still trying to figure out timing on finishing up those races. And in between all that, I'll be doing other marathons and ultras. So yeah, keep myself busy. It's either run or clean house. And who wants to clean house?
Seriously, I'll run it. I'll take the running option on that every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, there we go.
So, you know, at this point in your life, you know, after all the weight loss and you know, the different races and the ultras and all this kind of stuff, what has running taught you about yourself? What lessons has running provided for you?
Wow. when I was losing the weight, which I didn't finish losing until last summer, it took me 3.5 years to drop all the weight. Patience is a virtue. Is as much as people would say that to me, you always want to kind of like knock them upside the head. It's like, don't say that to me. But it really is. Progress takes time. But you have to be consistent and tenacious. You have to have that goal in front of you. And all of that applies to real life or trying to lose weight or running. All of that, it's all synonymous. If you are sloppy in one area of your life, it's going to transfer over to other areas of your life. So you have to be dedicated to get the best you can out of yourself. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it definitely does. And I mean, it's so true, but it flies so counter to everything, you know, in our fast-paced world and instant access and you know, everything now and shortcut and do this and overnight success. And, you know, again, in running and in everything in life, you know, take this pill and you'll drop so much weight and lose so many inches. And it's just all,
Don't even get me going on that stuff.
But I mean, it, you know, like you said, I mean, running is something that, or that, and specifically that lesson of patience and hard work and showing up every day and doing what needs to be done and getting the payoff, is a very valuable lesson and something that I think that maybe I'm biased, but I think maybe runners get that a little bit more than some folks that don't have, you know, haven't had an experience where they've really put in work over months and months and months to achieve a goal on a race day or something like that.
Right. Well, with the weight loss, I did not diet. Mm-hmm. I want to make that abundantly clear. I ate healthy. Mm-hmm. I made wise food choices. I did not cut out anything and said, oh, this is evil. I don't believe in that stuff. So I always had my treats, which are a nutty bar and a beer. The beer is my attagirl for staying and eating healthy throughout the day. So in the evening, I pop my beer and say, atta girl. Mm-hmm. That's my treat. I look forward to it. So don't take that away from me. Now, it's only one because that's got a lot of calories right in it. But boy, oh boy, is that worth it. Nutty bars are because if I don't have some chocolate, I will rip the house apart until I find some. So my husband's like, have you had your nutty bar today? Yes, I did. So moderation and making wise choices. I never once took a pill or a cleanse or a powder or shakes, none of that stuff. I've never done that. Let's see, what day was that this week? Monday, Tuesday? Can't remember. This week I went into a shop because I was curious about my body fat and my basal metabolic rate for my age. And my height, which is very lacking, I'm short. My rate is only 1,100 some odd calories a day. I don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Right.
So when I'm running, I'm burning about 80 calories a mile, which is not very much. As the more I lost weight, I thought, oh, I'm getting robbed. I used to lose a lot more. But then they also were trying to sell me protein supplements. And this lady came in and I saw her drop $64 on 12 days worth of protein bars, and I about choked. And the guy working there, he was like, oh, I like the shakes. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. Let me make that abundantly clear. It's just, I'm cheap. Let's just face it. And so they were extolling the virtues and they looked at me and they said, what do you use for protein? I said, I eat eggs. I mean, that shows how incredibly cheap I am. They're a couple of bucks a dozen and I eat like 3 or 4 a day and call it good. So I really do believe in real food, firmly believe in eating real food. You just don't have to eat mass quantities of it to get what you need. So anyway, that was my soapbox. I'll step off of that.
Oh, shoot. I could step right back on it. We could go for another, you know, hour plus talking real food, because I'm right there with you. It's you know, I just feel like there's something about, you know, that you can't process, or I don't know if process out is, but like, you know, there's a difference of the vitamin C in an orange versus the vitamin C in a pill, or there's a difference in the protein in an egg or in fish or in whatever, you know, beans and tofu, whatever your protein, real food protein source is, and the protein in a powder. And it's just, there's, you know, even though, you know, if you look at it from the science wise, like, oh, it's the same, but I just feel like there's something about the way that food grows naturally and our bodies process it that you can't, it's just not the same. It's just, I just firmly believe it's not the same. And going with the real food route is, I'm right there with you.
I hope I didn't make people upset, but that's just me. And besides that, if I'm eating eggs, then I have all that extra money for running shoes and stuff.
And for races and for traveling.
Yeah, you got that exactly. Right.
No, I'm right there with you. I think that real food's great. Speaking of real food, this is something that I don't ask often, but every once in a while it pops up and it seems like this is a perfect opportunity. When you're fueling during a race, do you have real food options, or do you kind of get suckered into some of the gels and things like that?
It depends on what I'm racing. Mm-hmm. If I'm just doing a marathon or a half marathon, I'll do the gels. But for an ultraman, I eat... their bacon is like God's gift. It is the best thing ever. The ultra that I'll be doing, they fire up the grills when the sun goes down and they cook soup and grilled cheese sandwiches and bacon and all sorts of tasty stuff. And you eat. You cannot run for 30 hours, 100 miles and not eat. You just can't do that on gels and drinks and stuff. Well, at least I can't.
No.
So yeah, you do. You eat food. Unless you really want to crash and burn, but not me.
Yeah, exactly. I had my first, in my third marathon, it was my first experience with kind of real food on a marathon course. And it was nothing fancy, but it was like, you know, orange slices, which is to this day, citrus for me on a long run or a race is so much, it sounds ridiculous, but it can literally like, I can literally, and I'm not using literally in the figurative sense, which that, you know, you can wrap your head around that one, but you know, I honestly can seriously feel as I'm eating it, just the energy pulsating throughout my body. It's crazy. I don't know what it is about the juice, the fluids, the citric acid, the vitamin C. I don't know what it is.
It is good.
Oh my gosh. Like if you know, like I've thought about ways on a long run to like hide an orange underneath the bush on the corner next to whatever store, you know, and like hope that it's still there in 2 hours when I loop back around the course and find it. Cause it's not a whole lot of fun to carry an orange with you when you're running.
No, it's not.
But goodness gracious. It's the, for me, the best thing out of, I can't do gels. I'm a consistency guy and I have no tolerance for gels, but I'll do the chews or things like that. And they're okay. But man, you give me an orange and ooh, it's fantastic. So again, real food. We're going to be proponents for real food today.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's jet fuel for when you're running and you're tired and you need something is a Coke, a leaded Coke.
Yes.
They hand those out a lot at Ultras too, and it is good stuff.
Yeah, a little shot of caffeine, a little bit of sugar.
Oh, yeah. And bubbles. I like the bubbles.
Fantastic. So as we're getting kind of close to wrapping things up, I got one more kind of deeper philosophical type of question for you. What has running taught you? What does running kind of mean to you? When you think of running, what other than just the physical act, obviously, but on a deeper level, what is running to you at this point in your life?
A stabilizer. It has taken me off of all my 13 medications except for one since we moved down here. And my doctor has told me, he says, run as many miles as you can, as long as you can, because that's what's keeping you off all this medication. I'm like, got it. I'm on it. So, you know, if your doctor tells you, you got to run, right? No, seriously, it does. It keeps me stable. It keeps our household happy because My husband runs too. He's run almost since day one we were married, and we'll be hitting 31 years next month.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. But he understands. He doesn't like to do long, long distance, but he understands the need to get out there and run and what it does to your mood and makes life easier. And that's kind of how things roll at our place, so...
Yeah, it's the same way at my house. I've My wife, actually, when we got married and we were dating and whatnot, she was the runner and I was the, like, begrudgingly, I go with her once in a while type of thing. And I never enjoyed it. And then somewhere, you know, along the line, we kind of, I don't know that we flipped the script, because she still enjoys running, but she doesn't do it very regularly. And, you know, it's just a couple miles here or there, and that's kind of gets her fixed. But man, if I go a day or two without a run, like, she like kicks me out of the house, like, go come back in an hour and come back and be a good person again, because this is ridiculous. So, yeah, stabilizer is a good word, there's tons of great adjectives, great ways to describe it, but I understand that it can keep the mood a little bit happier in the household sometimes.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Yeah. I really do.
Definitely. So, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, Melinda, I'm just in awe. I'm in awe. 170 pounds is, you know, I don't know what the percentage ends up breaking down, but that's more than half. I know that. I can do that kind of quick math in my head.
Oh, yeah. I was 275, so you can do the math.
Yeah, well, I could do the math, but I'm not going to attempt it. But it's quite the percentage.
So I'm down to about 105. When I have a big race like the 100-miler coming up, I will put on a few pounds intentionally for that race coming up, because there's a difference between doing 100 miles and doing a marathon. You know, the marathon, you think race weight. Well, at 100-miler, you're going to be digging into an awful lot of reserves, and you've got to have something on you to burn up.
Definitely.
So there is a little bit of difference there, but right now I'm at 105.
It's, I mean, you're as much as you kind of poo-pooed the story, the, you know, your story, and it's not that exciting. It's it's inspiring. If you can't deny me that. It's an incredible story and something that, you know, and then it, all of the things that it leads to, it leads you to connecting with Aiden and that relationship. And I mean, I'm sure you're, and we didn't even get into like the running community type of stuff, but just, it's the relationships that are out there, the friendships that are to be made. It's fantastic. And it's something that, you know, I think we, you know, everybody listening, we're all kind of part of the running community. We all appreciate it. And we all can appreciate how running can change your lives. And obviously you're living proof of the positive.
The running community totally rocks.
Oh yeah.
It is the best. You won't find a better group of people anywhere. You just won't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I can't say enough good things about all the runners that I have met, whether online or eventually getting to meet them in real life at different events around the country. You can't beat it. You just can't.
Definitely. And guys, if you haven't connected with Melinda already, you need to. Twitter, @MelindaHoward4 on Instagram. Mel is running. And the blog, if you want to check it out and see some of the pictures and pictures of Aiden and pictures of her running and all the different things that are going on, w0ep.us/tm. And again, links will all be all in the show notes at disruns.com/260. So Melinda, thanks again for taking the time. Really do appreciate it. And I mean, all the best. You got as busy a schedule as anybody else I know, which is fantastic. So good luck to you. Keep going. And you know, can't wait to hear how the 100-miler goes next year. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Melinda and myself. And as always, I'd love to know what you think. you know where we're going. We get to the end of the episode, and I love to hear the feedback. I'd love to know what your takeaway was from today's chat. For me, I think the biggest thing was, you know, when I asked Melinda about what the lessons are that she's learned from running, and the importance of patience. And I'm quick to mention that patience is a virtue to other folks. Yet it's still a pill that's hard for me to swallow. You know, it's still hard for me at times to remain patient, to trust in the process, to realize that, you know, whatever goals it might be, whether it's running or something else, you know, whether it's building the business, whether it's, you know, financial, you know, retirement savings, whether it's qualifying for Boston, whatever it is, many of these big goals that we have, or certainly that I have, require some patience, require some dedication, some hard work for, you know, oftentimes for years and years to get to where I want to be. And it can be difficult to maintain that patience and to continue to work hard without seeing that instant gratification, that instant payoff. Yet, there's not too many things that last. There's not too many long-lasting rewards in life that don't require some patience and don't require that hard work. So, you know, wherever you are in your running journey or any other facet of life, just maintain that perspective of patience. And that's the big thing that came out of the chat today, other than just the inspiration of holy cow, like what can you do when you put your mind to something and you work at it and you maintain patience, you can have a dramatic change. And Melinda's definitely had that dramatic change. So thanks for taking the time to listen, guys. And now it's time to let me know what your takeaway is or was. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/260. And leave your feedback in a comment. That way other people, you know, no matter when they stumble upon this episode, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 3 weeks from now or 3 months from now or 3 years from now, they can come back and you know, see your feedback, see your takeaways, and add their two cents as well. And it just keeps the conversation going. So DizRuns.com/260 is the show notes. We'll have links to you know, places to connect with Melinda there as well. So check it out and leave your feedback there. And with that, let's wrap this thing up. Don't forget, Savvy Striders, thanks again for welcoming me into your group this past weekend. And if you're ever in Savannah looking for somebody to run with, contact the group. And you know, even if you're not there on a weekend for a group run, I'm sure you can probably connect with, you know, through Theron or whoever else that you can connect with. And they can set you up with maybe somebody that's planning a midweek run, and you can meet them up and get a run and get the sightseeing, you know, while you're running. It's the best way to explore a city. So thanks again, guys, for welcoming me to your group. And with that, let's wrap this puppy up. Episode 260 is now complete. So thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you know, you continuing to show up and continue to listen to the show. It keeps me going, and it helps me to you know, want to stick with it. And I'm having a blast doing it. And having a blast connecting with you guys. So with that, thank you for listening. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.